In today's episode, we journey into the peculiar world of Beetlejuice, where the supernatural meets the absurd in Tim Burton's iconic film. From exploring the eccentric character of Beetlejuice himself to delving into the film's unique blend of humor and horror, we uncover the enduring charm and lasting impact of this cult classic. Through its imaginative storytelling, quirky characters, and whimsical visual style, Beetlejuice continues to captivate audiences with its darkly comic take on the afterlife. As we bid farewell to the ghostly inhabitants of the netherworld, we're reminded of the film's timeless appeal and its ability to transport us to a realm where anything is possible. So join us now as we embark on another adventure. Kick back, pick up your feet, take your seat, get the popcorn going, and let's talk some Beetlejuice. Hello again, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast Retro Life for You. My name is Chris Adams. Sitting in with me is Mr. Travis Rollins. He is not the ghost with the most, but he's definitely the host of the most.
What do you want to say? You're working with a professional here.
Do you have any qualifications, sir?
Oh, no.
Well, let's see. I attended Juilliard. I'm a graduate of the Harvard Business School. I travel quite extensively. I lived through the Black Plague and had a pretty good time during that, I'll say. I've seen The Exorcist about 167 times, and it keeps getting funnier every single time I see it. Not to mention the fact that you're talking to a dead guy. Now, do you think I'm qualified?
There you go. I love it.
In case you haven't picked up on this week, guys, we're doing Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice.
Been putting this off for a while.
Hey, what was the last one we did? Did we do Roger Rabbit last?
Me and you?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you're going to ask me that,
aren't
you?
Last episode. Well, I just thought it was funny that we're back in 1988, because Roger Rabbit, we just did Roger Rabbit, it seems like, very recently.
Roger Rabbit was 88. I will tell you the last one that you and I did together. It's going to take me just a second, so. But I can tell you when the last one we did together was. And so it was not last week. It was not. Actually, it was the week before that. We did Legend. Tom Cruise.
Yes, that's right.
And then you were gone the week before that. That was Cindy.
Roger Rabbit was the professor. The first show of the year.
Then you had Tough Guys on March 14th with me.
Yeah, so. We did Roger Rabbit on the first. I think that was the first episode of the year. That's what we. It was exciting.
Well, no, that was our 100th episode.
That's what. Okay.
Yeah, it was February the 8th. We released Who Framed Roger Rabbit. But that was our 100th episode that we did.
Which, so Chris and I was talking a while ago about the top. We thought we saw somewhere where it said Beetlejuice was the top movie, but it had to be Die Hard.
Yeah, Beetlejuice was the top movie as far as popularity goes for that year.
Yeah.
And
it had to be Die Hard. Die Hard had to be the top grossing one. The list
Die Hard was that year.
Yeah.
But if you go by box office on IMDb, it says Rain Man's number one.
Okay.
That's by U.S. box office, though. Now, you're talking about all together.
Rain Man?
It doesn't really say. Doesn't really say on here at all. I got the choices of popularity, A through Z, user rating, number of ratings, U.S. box office, runtime, year. Now, we can find out, though. So, if you want to, Travis, type in on your end there and look up that year, 1988, top grossing movies.
Top gross.
And while you're doing that, I will go ahead and give us a little quick read here about Beetlejuice for those who may not be 100% familiar with it or just haven't watched it yet.
Wow. Okay, I got you already, buddy.
Oh, you do? Well, actually, go ahead and tell me.
I got fast hands and pretty good internet.
Well, just let me hear it.
I can't believe this, actually. I'm not sure I trust this, the numbers movie index here. Top grossing movies of 1988. We got number one. It's Who Framed Roger Rabbit, coming in at $150,668,000.
Now, once again, is this going to be U.S. only or worldwide?
A little more than 39 million tickets sold. This is domestic, and this is North America and U.S.
Okay, so this is
Canada
still
and
just
U.S. I'm sorry.
So this is still just local here. This is not worldwide.
Correct.
It may not be the top grossing movie of the year then.
We are number 10. We are number 10. Coming to America was number 2. Good Morning Vietnam was number 3. Followed by Big with Tom Hanks, Crocodile Dundee 2, Three Men and a Baby, Cocktail, the bar movie with Tom Cruise, Moonstruck with, I believe that was Cher and who else was in it? Anyway, Die Hard, and then Beetlejuice.
Hmm.
Beetlejuice and Twins was right.
Now, what does it say Beetlejuice made?
It is saying that Beetlejuice in 1988 grossed $76,307,437 with 18,566,286 tickets sold.
All right. That's about what I'm seeing here on this other page.
And Young Guns is way down at 21.
We can't be having that.
Nah.
We got to talk to somebody. Yeah, that can't happen.
We should do a show on the top movies of a year. That would be cool. Like, just run down the list of the top 100 box offices and complain about it and rearrange it how we think it should go.
we can definitely do that one day. We can definitely do that.
That would be fun.
No, not a problem at all. Okay, let me get to the storyline real quick and get that out of the way here.
Yeah, tell them what happened in Beetlejuice.
So, storyline. You got Adam and Barbara. They're a normal couple who just happen to be dead. They've been given their precious time to decorate their house and make it their own, but unfortunately, a family is moving in, and not quietly. Adam and Barbara try to scare them out, but end up becoming the main attraction to the money-making family. So, they call upon Beetlejuice to help, but Beetlejuice has more in mind than just helping. So, to be fair, at the beginning of the movie, the couple are alive. It shows, you know, they have a wreck. They almost hit a dog, and they run off a bridge into the river.
Mm-hmm.
Or a very deep creek, one of the two.
I think it's about half of the movie before you even get to see Beetlejuice, isn't it?
Maybe not quite half.
Not quite half.
I don't think it's quite half. But, I mean, then you finally see him. And then, of course, he's there. This is Michael Keaton's favorite movie he's ever done.
Maybe mine, too.
Favorite Michael Keaton movie?
I don't know. It's up there, man.
I say because when he goes to the different crowds and college places and talks to kids and does commencement speeches and things, he doesn't look at the crowd and go, "I'm Beetlejuice."
Right?
He doesn't do that.
That's true.
I mean, he goes, "I'm Batman."
I'm Batman?
Michael Keaton's the Batman. Not I'm. He's not just any Batman. He's the Batman.
I would have to agree. I would have OG to agree 100%.
Batman. For sure. For sure.
But he's got some fantastic movies. I think Keaton, honestly, is probably one of my favorite actors, to be honest with you.
I mean, you know, he definitely has some very good, even here lately, you know, coming back out, you know, on you know, in today's day and age, he's had some pretty good roles in movies and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go down his line of movies here in just a second. I just wanted to just mention some of the people in this movie. He had a great cast to start with. You got young Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
And Gina Davis. They play the couple. Mm-hmm. You got Michael Keaton, who, of course, is Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm.
You got Catherine O'Hara and Jeffrey Jones that play the couple that want to move in, along with their kid, played by Winona Ryder.
Yes. I love me some Catherine O'Hara. She's still doing fun stuff to this day, too.
She is. Glenn Shattuck, who played Otho. Is it Ortho or Otho? Otho.
I think it's Otho.
I'm looking at him now, Otho.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's definitely its fair share of cast members that's been in a lot of good things over the years. Definitely great from there. So let's go ahead and let's jump on Michael Keaton first, since he's the big man of the movie in Beetlejuice. And you talk about, you know, all the stuff that he had done and everything. Early on, he was made popular pretty much by Mr. Mom, I think, and Johnny Dangerously. Those are two of his earlier ones that kind of got him out there and going and made him popular. He was in Night Shift as well. That's one of those Stephen King things, I think, that's kind of short stories, wasn't it? Night Shift.
Oh, yeah. Yep, sure enough.
So,
Sure enough.
The and night then, shift. I think it also goes with the, what is it called? The meat train or something. I think that story corresponds with it in the Stephen King ethos.
I can't remember which ones was in there with stories. I know one of his short stories one had something to do with a cat.
Mm-hmm.
And a little, I think little small trolls or something.
Yeah, that's Cat's Eye.
Was that Cat's Eye?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, there's a movie about that too. That was pretty decent.
Somebody was that a movie or was it a short story in one of these things like Night Shift?
Oh no, Cat's Eye was a full on like hour and a half long movie.
Okay.
The little goblin was like taking the little girl's breath, and the cat was actually saving her from it and stuff.
Right. And that used to be an old wives' tale, but don't let cats get close to the babies because the cats steal the baby's breath.
Right.
That's where they were. I think where they were playing that off of and everything. Of course, now that I'm talking about this, I have to know. So I want to look up Night Shift for a second just to be sure of it here. Night Shift looks like just about a mild-mannered morgue attendant assigned to the night shift and his new coworker, along with his prostitute neighbor, it says, convince him of running a prostitution ring out of the morgue. That's definitely not what I thought it was.
That is not the that's not the Stephen King.
No, it is not. That's not what I was thinking of. I am so sorry, everybody. I am so sorry, Stephen King. What am I thinking? Now I want to go back and watch Night Shift, though.
I was just going to say, now I got to go watch Night Shift, but that sounds hilarious.
It does. That's why I'm not going to watch that at this point. It looks like he got some, like most everybody, he got his start in television doing some things.
Mm-hmm.
Hartman, Maude.
Don't believe that, too, that he was on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Mr. Rogers. I did not. It's the first thing he's on there. It says Volunteer Black and White Panda.
Heck yeah. Might not even seen his face, but that's cool.
Right. So Tony Randall Show, the Mary Tyler Moore Show. We got then he gets into the 80s. Now, the 80s, he starts getting into movies. Night Shift is his first movie in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And since this is our era, let's go ahead and take a quick look at these. We got Mr. Mom. We got Johnny Dangerously. We got one of the movies that I like by him, Gung Ho. Touch and Go. We got The Squeeze. Okay, I had this discussion last week. I believe it was last week when we did War Games. We were talking about She's Having a Baby because everybody under the sun is uncredited for She's Having a Baby. And I'm like, why is that? I haven't watched it.
Right. So that's a Tom Hughes film, isn't it?
It is. And I looked it up. But the reason why all these people show up uncredited, they're in the credits, the end credits, given their suggestion for names of the baby.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yes.
I want to watch She's Having a Baby.
And so I don't know if he's in it as because of Mr. Mom or something, you know, or what it is. But anyway, he's in there giving suggestions for names, I guess. And they have all kinds of – they have Ferris Bueller's mom and dad from the movie. Then they got Ferris Bueller. And he's Matthew Broderick dressed as Ferris Bueller. So he's uncredited in the movie as Ferris Bueller.
Well, isn't it wild that Beetlejuice is only two separations from Kevin Bacon two different times?
Yeah.
So Alec Baldwin and Michael Keaton both in She's Having a Baby, of which Kevin Bacon stars.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're two degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon with Beetlejuice.
And then moving from Beetlejuice, he did Clean and Sober in the same year.
Great movie.
So and then in 89 he goes on to the Dream Team.
The Dream Team is one of my favorites. My mom had me watch it.
It is so funny.
It and so not seen, like people have not seen it. I tell people about it quite frequently and they're like, really? I've never heard of it. And I'm like, dude, you need to go watch The Dream Team, bro.
Telling like, you, it's hilarious.
It is so good. It was like, can you even drive? Hey, second Daytona.
And his last movie to follow up in the 80s was Batman.
I'm Batman.
So,
like it I was said, funny everybody... to me too how he kind of I felt like it was deja vu a little bit how everybody was so angry. Now when I was a kid I don't remember this because of course I'm 9 years old when it comes out. All I know is I'm getting Batman. I don't know if Michael Keaton's right for the role, but everybody was furious when they announced Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
And they were like, holy cow, it works. I feel the same way about Robert Pattinson. Everybody's like, dude, are you serious? We're getting the sparkly vampire. I'm like, no, bro. Have you seen the trailer? I
haven't watched it.
Oh, my God, dude.
I haven't. I still haven't seen it.
It's phenomenal, and I'm so afraid we're not going to get another one. It is so phenomenal. And Robert Pattinson is so just ethereally violent. Like, it is so absolutely violent. And I was like, dude, he's going to crush it. Like, he's killing it. And I thought he did. I thought the new Batman movie. So whereas, like, Christopher Lee Nolan did The Dark Knight, like, this is The Greatest Detective. You know what I mean? Like, this is, yeah, it's really, really good.
I'm not saying I won't watch it. I just haven't got around to it yet.
It's really long. It's longer than it could have been. But it's now, not
is this
like,
supposed to be the youngest rendition of Batman?
Oh, I guess it would have to be, really.
In the uniform?
Yeah, it would have to be. Because him and the girl, Selena, mm-hmm. is played by Zoe, Kravitz.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I guess it would have to be.
Okay. Because I remember watching the TV series we talk about often called Gotham, how mm-hmm. it finally ended in Bruce Wayne putting on the suit.
Right. So I guess I wondered pick up maybe this, after Gotham then.
That's what I wonder. If
like at the
like
age,
that.
The age anyway. That's but yeah, I mean. No, it wasn't like too long. Like the Joker was too long. I personally think the Joker was a horrible movie. I'll go against the grain. I didn't like it at all. I thought it was ridiculous.
Is that the one with Joaquin Phoenix? Yeah. I had no interest in watching it at all.
I thought it was terrible.
I did not want to see it.
Everybody says it's just a masterpiece, and I just think it's absolutely horrible.
Oh, I'd like to know who everybody is so I can send them some hate mail.
I know, right?
They ain't got no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then he came back as Batman again in 1992.
Well, isn't he the only one to go back-to-back until they get to The Dark Knight?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because then it was – and then it was Kilmer and Clooney.
Yeah. And neither one of them went back-to-back, right?
You know what? Clooney did.
Did Clooney go back-to-back for sure?
Yeah, because he did Batman Forever and then Batman and Robin.
Okay.
Because him and Chris O'Donnell was in two as Robin.
Yeah. All right, well, moving on along here. Let's go to our next person here with Alec Baldwin. Now, he's not having so much luck these days for sure. But,
or is he?
I can't tell. I really can't tell anymore.
I mean, you shoot somebody on set.
I'm just telling you, man. How much of a bad luck is that? He, like we mentioned a moment ago with Keaton, he's on some stardom TVs. And the earliest thing I got with him is 1980 to 82, a TV series called The Doctors.
Okay.
28 episodes.
I'm going to jump ahead real quick, though, because I just got to stick this in there real quick. What's the first thing you remember him from?
Alec Baldwin?
Yeah.
Gosh. Without knowing who it was, Beetlejuice. I didn't know. Okay. And now, with knowing who he is and understanding who he is and everything at that point, I would probably say The Hunt for Red October.
Okay. I'll probably go with you on Beetlejuice. I didn't think about that. It might be around the same time, but mine's the sweaty balls from SNL.
That is a little that's into the 90s, I believe.
Is that into the 90s?
Yeah, because you've got that's the time frame when you had Cherry O'Terry and Molly Shannon and
correct.
I forget it now. The place you're talking about had Molly Shannon. And I cannot think of the other lady's name. She's Anna Gasteyer.
Anna Gasteyer and Molly.
The two of them together did that NPR thing, National Public Radio.
Yes, and it was.
And they had him on there, and it was a Christmas thing, I believe, or a holiday special.
Yes.
And the name of the place is Sweaty's something or other.
His name was like Pete Sweaty.
Like Schweatty.
Right. Pete Schwetty.
Yeah, and they're famous for making
sausage and cheese balls.
Right, sausage and cheese balls. And it's like, one thing I know for sure is people can't get enough of my sweaty balls. And it just starts from there.
It was like, oh, they're a little salty.
Yeah, it just starts from there. They keep going one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. And the only thing that's just as good, if not better, is when they brought Betty White on. And he talked about her dusty muffin.
Yeah, her dusty muffin. Yeah, that rivaled it.
She made
it,
muffins.
That was so funny because they were all so monotone with it too. But I think honestly, man,
very interesting thing we're talking about here, Travis.
right.
We're speaking about
dusty muffins and sweaty balls.
Talking about food at the holidays. Yeah, yes. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, nothing gets me happier.
Nothing gets me happier. I'm so excited right now.
You may not be able to tell it right now, but I can hardly contain myself.
So excited right now.
Good times.
I don't know how. Good times.
Good times.
That's awesome. I'm glad you remembered that. Yeah. I remember I laughed until I cried the first time I seen that thing. Man, that just.
SNL is the best. Yeah. But yeah, back to him though. When the Hunt for Red October came out, so I'm 10 years old. And of course, we rent this as soon as it comes to the movies. We didn't do a whole lot of going to the movies when I was a kid, you know, right. with my parents. We did a lot of renting, though, a ton of renting. And Hunt for Red October to me back then was just the most boring thing I'd ever seen. Really, truly, from Beetlejuice up to. Maybe even into doggone the SNL stuff, like The Edge and Mercury Rising and Thick as Thieves and stuff. So I would say the late 90s is where I started to really recognize even who he was.
I would say 88, 89 is when I started hitting the theaters consistently with friends.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, every now and then, I'd talk my mom into dropping me off during the summer. We talked about this before, at a place here locally called Fountain Square. It was about 20 minutes from where she worked, and I would watch a couple of movies during that day, and I would hit the arcade they had there and get something to eat from one of the restaurants. It's like an outdoor mall with a theater.
100%, yeah.
And that was some definitely good times right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
a lot of good movies.
Well, that's me. When I started hitting, when I was able to drive, when I got my driver's license, then I was going to the movies because, now I got my wheels and my money. So I'm at the movies then.
To go back to his earlier stuff, I mentioned The Doctors. It's the first thing he started. He did 28 episodes of The Doctors from 80 to 82. Mm-hmm. He has 9 episodes in 83 of Cutter to Houston, which I've never heard of.
Right.
A doctor again, Dr. Hal Wexler, it says. In 84, he's a TV movie, The Sheriff and the Astronaut. Mm-hmm. Don't ring a bell.
He was on Knots Landing for a whole year.
Yeah, well, 84 TV movie called Sweet Revenge, and 85 he was in another TV series that I remember but never watched called Hotel.
Okay.
Love on the Run, an 80s TV movie in 85, but like you said, Knots Landing, 40 episodes of Knots Landing. Now, that was my mom's gig right there. It wasn't for me. I never watched Knots Landing.
I've never seen it, but I've heard of it. Growing up,
yeah, it was one of them nighttime soap operas like you had with Dallas or Dynasty or.
Yeah, I remember Dallas. Falcon's Crest. We watched that in the house. Mama was watching that. Falcon.
Oh yeah, pretty much every woman in the United States was watching Dallas.
Who shot Falcon Crest?
They were watching Dynasty. They were watching Knots. Knots Landing is a spinoff of Dallas, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so.
So most of them that watched Dallas tuned into Knots Landing as well. He's got Dress Gray, a TV miniseries in 86. Now, here we finally start the movie, something called Forever Lulu in 86.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we got another TV movie, The Alamo, 13 Days to Glory in 87.
Now, I think I saw that, but I don't remember him in it. I would have seen that. But I probably watched that at my grandfather's.
Yeah, I'm really
positive I saw that.
He's actually in She's Having a Baby.
Right.
As Davis McDonald. And then we got him as Beetlejuice. So, Married to the Mob in 88, A Working Girl in 88, Talk Radio in 88, Great Balls of Fire in 89, and that was the end of the 80s for him.
Not too bad.
So, we're not going to cover, beyond them, but I do have a question for you as far as Alec Baldwin goes. What is your favorite Alec Baldwin movie after he went to the decade of the 80s, if you had to pick one?
After the 80s?
Yeah.
Let's see, just real quick. I may be forgetting ones that he's been in, but I think I'm going to have to say The Edge. I think it's
The Edge.
Yeah, The Edge. That was, I believe, him and Anthony Hopkins, and they're both trapped. They're both
that bear.
Yep, yep. The billionaire, and they're in the woods, and the Kodiak bear hunting them and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a phenomenal movie.
For me, I'm going to go with Pearl Harbor.
Oh, see, that was one I forgot about. Pearl Harbor was a magnificent movie.
It was great. It was a long movie, but it was great.
Yeah, but it was so good. I think that's the last we saw of Josh Hartnett there, wasn't it?
It could be. I don't remember. I don't remember. I don't remember a lot more with him after that. So it could be. Definitely could be. I failed to ask you a moment ago. We'll just drop back to him real quick while we can. Michael Keaton, after the 80s decade he had, what would be your favorite Michael Keaton?
Oh, my God. That's tough.
That's a loaded one almost, because he had so many good ones after that.
Man, like I said, too, he's one of my favorites. Like, holy cow. Let me shoot through the 90s. Yeah. Man, when he started playing a bad guy, it was good, too. I think his first bad guy movie was Pacific Heights, was it?
Well, it doesn't have to be the 90s. You can go later in the 90s. You can do recent if you want. I'm just saying, after his 80s, what was your favorite movie of his?
I'm going to have to say, man, that's so hard. I'm just going to pick one and go with Desperate Measures, maybe.
Desperate Measures was a good movie. Do you know what I liked, though, that was kind of fun?
What's that?
A friend of mine pointed it out to me.
Multiplicity.
No, Multiplicity was good.
My absolute favorite Michael Keaton movie of all time is My Life.
My Life. I don't know if I've seen that one or not, to be honest.
It will make you cry.
White Noise.
Ooh, that was a good one.
Yes, that was such a fun movie, such a great movie.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with My Life. My Life is he finds out he has cancer, and he starts making all these videos for his son because his wife is pregnant.
And
he ends up living longer than what they gave him, and I've
seen it.
Yeah, so he made a video teaching his son how to shave, but then his son got to shave him and stuff. Oh, man, I'm getting choked up now. But, yeah, My Life is such – I think that My Life might be my favorite.
All right, so let's go to Gina Davis, played the wife of the ghost couple there.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we're going to drop on down like we have been, drop on down to the 80s and see what started Miss Gina Davis out here.
Earth Girls Are Easy.
You know, the very first thing listed for her is a movie. But yeah. It's not Earth Girls Are Easy, though.
What is it?
It's Tootsie.
Tootsie?
Yeah, Tootsie. Hey, in 1982, she was in Tootsie, an episode of Knight Rider in 83. The TV series Buffalo Bill from 83-84, she did 26 episodes, played Wendy Killian, and Fantasy Island in one episode in 1984. Nobody remembers this TV series here, I'm about to say, in 84, but Riptide. Do you remember Riptide? Please tell me you remember Riptide. I
really, truly don't.
I can't believe it. Nobody. I mean, I remember it. I watched it. I remember Riptide being on, but nobody ever remembers that show. Man, Family Ties for two episodes in 84. In 85, a TV movie called Secret Weapons. In 85, an episode of Remington Steel. In 85, 13 episodes of Sarah. Looks like it was a show based on her. Because the character she played was Sarah McKenna. Right. In 85, she was in Fletch.
Fletch.
Fletch is probably the first thing I really knew her in, I guess. I've seen all the other things. Then I wouldn't have known her in Knight Rider if I'd seen her, probably. And I never watched it. Right. I know what it is.
She's never watched it. Even though she's a good-looking lady, she is a very unique-looking lady, too. So.
Yes. She was a lot prettier when she was younger. But
the first thing I remember from is The Fly.
I remember her in Fletch, but she was bigger in The Fly, though.
Yeah. And then Transylvania 5000. That was, wait a minute. Didn't that have, wasn't that Goldblum as well?
Transylvania 5000?
Yeah, that was Goldblum. Yes. Yes, it was. Yes.
That's what I'd say. I believe Goldblum is. I see him in there. Yeah. He's in it.
Yeah, because I remember watching that. I got on a Goldblum kick one time and started watching all kind of movies with him in them.
Jeffrey Goldblum, Ed Begley Jr. Look here, Carol Kane, Jeffrey Jones. Yeah. He's in the movie we're doing today, too.
He did one with Cyndi Lauper as well. That was pretty
funny. Oh, that was a while back. Yeah, that was like that's a psychic kind of movie or something.
Yeah.
So she goes from Fletch to George Burns Comedy Week special, Transylvania 6-5000, The Fly in 86, Beetlejuice 88, Earth Girls Are Easy in 88. Earth Girls Are Easy. That was her and Julie Brown.
Uh-huh. That was, I believe that was Jim Carrey's first movie. And Jim Carrey. It had Jeff Goldblum again.
Again, yes. And
Damon Wayans.
Yep. The Accidental Tourist in 88, Trying Times, a TV series in 89, and that was the end of her 80s. So, moving forward, if you had to pick a favorite movie, this is something new we're going to start doing, I guess.
I like
Gina Davis in it. After the 80s decade for Gina Davis, what do you got for a favorite movie?
Thelma and Louise, no question.
I got a different one, no question.
Okay.
League of Their Own.
League of Their Own was good.
Yep.
League of Their Own was good, yep. But I still got to go with Thelma and Louise over it.
I just can't do it. Do you know in the 2019 She-Ra and the Princess of Power TV series it did? I guess that was on Netflix, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
When it did the He-Man thing, she is the voice of Huntara.
Huntara. That's pretty cool.
So there's something else you and I know we would like that.
Yep.
She's had a good career.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I like Cutthroat Island, too. Cutthroat Island was pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to another one you like pretty much here, Miss Catherine O'Hara.
Oh yeah, I love me some Catherine O'Hara. I used to get made fun of because I had crushes when I was a kid on people that everybody else said was weird looking. Like I thought Lydia's mom was hot. I was in love with Cyndi Lauper. Like I had a few of them.
You said Lydia's mom.
Yeah, this is Lydia's mom or her stepmom.
Oh, you're talking from the movie here? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's Catherine O'Hara, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so. I think she's awesome. She was also Kevin's mom.
That's where I was going to say I know her from. That's the first thing I knew her from ever was Home Alone.
Yeah. Oh, I know her from Beetlejuice, Dick Tracy, Home Alone.
Well, I say I don't know when I watched Beetlejuice for the first time. I cannot even say that. When the first time it may not have been the year it came out because the year it came out, I was really big. When I was in high school, I was in high school when it came out, okay? Mm-hmm. So I was really big into watching martial arts and karate movies and action movies. And there was a ton of B movies we would always go rent and watch. Mm-hmm. We were always watching these things. So during that time frame, I became really accustomed and known to Cynthia Rothrock and Keith Cook and Richard Norton and Jaleel.
Well, a lot of people don't know that she was Sally in The Nightmare Before Christmas, too.
I never watched that movie.
Oh,
nope. It does not appeal to me.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's not my thing, man.
I can't fault you for that. That one might be a little out there.
Yeah.
I love it.
If we're looking at her 80s work that she's done, the year 1980, she was kind of busy. She had a movie called Nothing Personal, another TV movie called Easter Fever, a TV movie called From Cleveland, another movie called Double Negative, and then a TV series for 3 episodes called You've Come a Long Way, Katie. She did a little bit of stuff on SCTV. In 83, Rock and Rule. 84, a TV series called The New Show. In 83 to 84, 5 episodes of SCTV Channel. Mm-hmm. And 85, The Last Polka. 85, After Hours. There's a George Burns special. There's Northern Lights, Tears Are Not Enough. That's a music video, though. Dave Thomas, The Incredible Time Travels of Henry Osgood.
I'm sorry to interrupt you for this. Everyone listening, we're going to have to research this. I don't know what's going on and how this is not on my radar, but she's done one episode in 2024 of Fraggle Rock, Back to the Rock. What is this, and how do I watch it?
So they brought Fraggle Rock back as well then.
It looks like it, dude. That is crazy.
How's the so song awesome. Go, Travis?
Dance your cares away. Worry for another day.
Down at Fraggle Rock.
Heck yeah. Listen to me, Fraggle, another waggle. That was convincing John when he was getting him to stop.
Apple TV. Fix.
Oh, man.
Really? Apple TV.
Hey, Apple.
Yeah, Fraggle Rock, Back to the Rock. Apple TV, it says.
That is
March 29th, 2024.
We're going to petition.
It says that. in the second season of the Emmy award winning series Fraggle Rock, Back to the Rock. So that's the second. They apparently got more than one season left. But I used to love Fraggle Rock when I was young. Oh,
me too, dude. I was literally playing Fraggle Rock songs for the guys at work the other day. I was playing the minstrels, and I was somehow convincing John was the man, though. That was because everybody remembers when they stopped eating the Doozer sticks, and the Doozers were going to have to move because they could. anyway, man. We're trying to stay under 45 minutes. Let's get back.
The biggest movie I've seen her in the 80s I can see here is Beetlejuice. And then, and start in 1990, she was in Dick Tracy and went from there. But Beetlejuice is the biggest one I can see during that time.
For sure.
That stands out to me, at least, anyway. And just so everybody knows, I see the earliest thing of her listed as Kathy O'Hara in the Wayne and Schuster show in 1975, one episode. Looks like where she got her start.
Oh, yeah. So, favorite movie after the 90s, real quick.
After the 90s, go ahead, real quick.
Oh, I was expecting you to go first this
time. Oh, you want me to go first this time? Well, I can go first this time if you want me to. I'm Catherine O'Hara, I'm not exactly a large fan of as far as all of her work, but I did like her in Home Alone, in the Home Alone series.
Heck yeah. So even though I was really let down by the movie, I thought it was going to be really good, and it turned super silly right at the end. It turned absolutely super silly. But I liked her in Ruth, as Ruth in Argyle.
Oh, because, I didn't know you were going there. I thought you were going Wyatt Earp for a second.
Brand new. Oh, yeah. She was good. She was good as Allie Earp in that one. But just the fact that she's still doing brand new movies and killing it, that's why I'm picking Argyle, because it was done this year.
Okay. And
she's still killing it.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all.
Heck
so
let's
see. We've done Alec Baldwin. We've done Gina Davis. We've done Michael Keaton. We've done Catherine O'Hara. Let's jump down here to Winona Ryder.
Or Jeffrey Jones. Well, we know Jeffrey.
We know
Jeffrey a lot.
You may or not know what happened to Jeffrey Jones.
Mm.
Jeffrey Jones has run to you. You want to go ahead and tackle him? He's gotten some trouble.
Really?
We will tackle him because you don't know, apparently. Okay.
I do not know.
So here we go with this. Jeffrey Jones, of course, we'll go ahead and tell you. In case you don't know who he is, just hearing his name. He is the principal in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah.
All right. He was the dark, what do they call him in Howard the Duck?
I am the Dark Overlord.
Dark Overlord.
He was the doctor, Dr. Jenning.
Yeah. He was pretty well known for Amadeus, being in that, and he was in Ed Wood. Now, he got into some trouble. This is... Needless to say, he got into some trouble. Let me see.
Was it Randy Travis, Pee Wee Herman kind, or was it like really bad kind?
Oh, this is bad.
No.
Let me see if I can get a good thing on him for you so I can tell you exactly what he did. It was not pretty.
Oh, that ain't no good. Did he go to the island?
It may as well been on the island. In 2003, Jones was charged with soliciting a minor to pose for nude photographs. It was a teenage boy.
No.
He pled no contest and had subsequent arrests for failing to update his sex offender status. They made him register as a sex offender as well. And then there was something else that came around, similar stuff. Or maybe it was just he failed to... update, they gave him 200 and some hours of community. Let me click on this Wikipedia here. It should tell me there.
That's no good at all.
No, it is not good.
And pleading no contest, he did it.
So here we go. It's child pornography, basically. There's a bad mugshot of him there. Following leads in an investigation of Paul Rubens, Jones was arrested in 2002 for possession of child pornography and soliciting a 14-year-old boy to produce sexually explicit images between September 2000 and May 2001. Jones photographed the child and paid him to pose nudes on multiple occasions, wearing a cowboy hat with stuffed animals and dressed as a Native American. Jones surrendered himself and was released on bond prior to arraignment, pled not guilty to the possession charge and no contest to a charge of soliciting. The victim initiated a separate civil action against Jones seeking damages and compensation. The misdemeanor charge of possession of child pornography was dropped following the no contest plea, and his attorney emphasized that there was no allegation of improper physical contact, just that he took pictures and stuff, which is bad.
That's improper. I mean, that's not, like, what's wrong with people?
His punishment was 5 years probation, counseling, and the requirement to register as an offender. And in 2020, he was arrested twice for failing to update his register status, first in Florida in 2004, and 6 years later in California. Pleaded guilty to felony charges in California, given 250 hours of community service sentence and an additional 3 years of probation. In 06, became a subject of community complaint during the production of Who's Your Caddy in Aiken, South Carolina. Upon learning of his involvement, locals insisted that the public should have been alerted.
Yeah, I used to live there when I was a little boy.
Really? In Aiken?
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Wow. We lived down there for 3.5 years. We moved back in 1992.
It says, surrounding the 2019 release of Deadwood, the movie, his crime was noted by the media. So he's not going to go anywhere where it's not going to get brought up ever again. Yeah. For sure. And yeah, I mean, it's a terrible thing. I mean, people.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I mean, it's just something else. That's why I was kind of skipping over him a little bit. I don't know if I want to get too far into that or not.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that, then.
Yeah.
He don't need no more attention.
No, not really. I don't think so.
Trash.
So we got a Winona Ryder, and she's a favorite of people, wouldn't you say? Winona Ryder.
Yeah, and all she did was steal some stuff.
That's it. Sure, her charges weren't quite as bad.
Wasn't it like Belk's or something too? It was like a daggum department store at the mall.
I don't know. And her name stands out.
And you know she was just doing that as a teenager on a bet or a whim or you know
something.
She already had money. Like, what were you doing?
Her name stands out. One of my friends used to joke about her all the time. He'd be like, "Well, what's that girl's name? You know, from the movie about the Little Women's or the." Or you know the girl the ride the I said Winona, he goes, yeah, I want a rider. That's her.
Yeah,
he'd always call her I want a rider, not Winona.
I want a rider. Yeah, that's her.
Oh my god. Just jump down to the 80s real quick with her and give you a rundown of her 80s real quick. She was first known in 86. Yep, Lucas in 86. Square. So she had a short decade of stuff in the 80s.
Yeah, but it seems like she did some Broadway stuff when she was younger. Like, that's how she got into acting, I feel like.
She might have, but check this out. All right, Lucas in 86, Square Dance in 87, Beetlejuice in 88, 1969 in 88, Heathers in 88, in 89.
Yeah.
This is going to stand out for me because this was someone I really liked listening to way back, back in my teen days. And I'll still listen to her today. But there's a music video she was in playing the pregnant bride, and it's called Mojo Nixon, Debbie Gibson is Pregnant with My Two-Headed Love Child.
Yeah.
Never have I heard of that before.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my God. In 89, Great Balls of Fire.
Which is actually a pretty cool movie. It had one of the Quaids playing Jerry Lee Lewis, and she was
that Dennis Quaid, I believe.
Yeah, and she was his cousin.
Yeah,
who got married. Yeah, yeah, and she was 13 or 14 when they did it too.
I want to say 13.
Yeah.
So if we were to go after the 80s now for Miss Winona Ryder, what's going to be your movie of choice there?
Oh, man, that's hard, dude. Winona's actually been in some really good stuff. Yeah. That's hard to pick for me, truly. Edward Scissorhands is noteworthy. What was it? The one she did with Cher, where she was Cher's daughter. I don't remember what that movie was.
Off top of my
Mermaids.
Head,
Mermaids. Mermaids, I think. Yeah. Mermaids was good. I'm going to probably have to land on Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Bram Stoker's Dracula was a good movie.
I mean, she was in a bunch of good stuff.
I want to play it safe.
And then you also got to go with Stranger Things, man. How do you not say Stranger Things?
I've only seen the first season of Stranger Things.
Yeah, that one's hard for me not to go with too.
I haven't gone past that. I'm gonna be safe with this one. I'm gonna go with Star Trek in 2009. I think that's where they started doing the prequels to Star Trek, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe you're right. Yeah,
she plays a character called Amanda Grayson, and this is the prequels. This is the first Star Trek where they did the young James T. Kirk and his the crew got brought together and everything. So
yes,
I'm about to go with that one.
Which are phenomenal movies.
They are very good movies. There's a lot of people that don't like them because they say they're not the same.
I love it.
If Mike Kearns was just here, he could tell us this all day long. Something to do with a different universe for Star Trek, the Kelvin universe or something like that, or
right. Well, didn't they address that in something with old Spock and young Spock and time travel?
I don't remember. I don't remember. And it's similar to Star Wars having their thing like with canon. Mm-hmm. Is it canon?
Yeah, Disney did that though. That's canon versus legend.
Yeah, that's the whole story. It's just like going with that. Difference in their universe or whatever for those.
Right, so they'll pull from Knights of the Old Republic is legend, but they pull from it and bring some of it into canon. Like the video game, and then all of your old stories are not canon anymore unless it's on the official Disney list. Like there's a book that I have now. I can't remember the name of it, but it follows Asajj Ventress up to her death. It's a good book. And then there's another one.
That is a movie that people are calling for, and they want Michelle Williams, I think her name is. It's pretty big and popular on Instagram to play her role. They did a little fan trailer, a fan made trailer.
I watched it. Yeah, it was good too.
And she could pull that off, no problem. I'm sure.
I agree. Yeah, I would like to see that as well.
So, do you know what the studio originally wanted to call this film?
I do not.
House Ghosts.
That's terrible.
As a joke, Tim Burton suggested the name Scared Sheetless.
Oh my God.
And was horrified when the studio actually considered using it.
Scared Sheetless. That would have worked better than House Ghost.
It would have worked better.
Scared Sheetless probably would have worked, actually.
It probably would have, but ultimately, in the end, I'm glad they went with just Beetlejuice.
Absolutely.
So, Michael Keaton, I'm in the trivia section now. According to Michael Keaton, the Beetlejuice character was described to him by director Tim Burton as having lived in every time period, but no time period. Keaton used this as a jumping off point to create a character with such features as a shock hairdo, mold makeup, and large teeth. He said that when he first showed up to the set as Beetlejuice, the crew was chanting, "Juice, juice, juice," which got him excited for his role.
How about this is the first DVD sent out by Netflix in 1998? Because those of you that don't know,
is that not awesome?
That is super awesome. I started using Netflix from the beginning. And the way it used to work is you signed up for it online and they had the catalog online and you would go in and pick your movies that would come to you in the mail. And you just
one at a time, three at a time, five at a time. That determined what level your membership was.
Exactly. And I had the five at a time, but I would mail them back. Like I'd watch one night and just mail it the very next day. That's why I constantly, after about a month of doing that, you have a constant streams of DVDs in your mailbox every single day. So you're mailing out and getting one. So that was really, really cool. It took about a month and a half to get that going, but yeah, then Redbox came along. I think Redbox was right after Netflix, but yeah, Netflix has been around for a while.
I would say Netflix was still around. Netflix was still mailing out DVDs too when Redbox was, but I think I think the bringing about of Redbox though and things like that kind of killed off Netflix's mailing out of DVDs at that point because Blockbuster was doing it too, weren't they?
Yeah,
mailing them out.
Yeah, they were doing the mail out. They started it after Netflix started getting ground.
Yeah,
they started doing it. And then but there's still red boxes around. I don't know how. I guess people still use them because they're still around.
Oh, they're still around. People are using them. Yes, I see them at Walmart all the time, going there to take them.
Yeah, they're at all of our drugstores and grocery stores.
So I mean, nothing wrong with that. This movie won the Academy Award for Best Makeup. it got 3 Saturn Awards, Best Horror Film, Best Makeup, and Best Supporting Actress for Sylvia Sidney, it says. Who is Sylvia Sidney?
I don't know.
Who did she play? Let's see who she played. I'm not sure who she played. Oh, she was, I want to say she was the one that played the woman who was trying to help the dead couple.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm looking at a picture of her now.
Is this the girl that was with Otho?
No, this is a younger version. This looks like a younger version of that woman who was playing that role.
Gotcha.
Now they look at her. The film's success spawned an animated TV series. Did you watch that?
Absolutely. That yeah, used to didn't? Be before. I used to. It actually came on before school. I was able to watch it before I got on the bus.
We had video games that come off of it, and a 2018 stage musical.
Yeah, I even got a couple little Burger King toys.
Still have them?
Yeah.
Cool. A sequel, as everybody knows, is scheduled to come out September 6, 2024. It's just simply titled Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they've been promising us that one for a while. We've been waiting on it.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about it, what it's going to be about or anything just yet, but, you know.
I think it's cool, too, that they said that Michael Keaton ad-libbed around 90% of his lines, only appeared for about 14 and a half minutes in the movie, and then he also came up with a lot of the character's look, telling the makeup department he wanted mold on his face and his hair looking like he stuck his finger in the light socket. And I think that's pretty cool.
So now, do you know what the movie is based off of?
No.
So this movie is an American fantasy horror comedy film directed by Tim Burton from a screenplay by Michael McDowell and Warren Scarron, based on a story by Michael McDowell and Larry Wilson.
Oh.
So they had written a story together to begin with before it even started, you know, having thoughts of Beetlejuice. They're basing the movie Beetlejuice off of their little short story or their story that they had started.
Okay.
So it doesn't go into detail about the story or anything. That's where they get the idea for that. They refer to Beetlejuice as a charismatic bio-exorcist from the netherworld.
I like it.
For you, what was the favorite part of this movie for you?
Favorite scene... That's another one. This is another one of those movies that is so good all the way through. I love when you first see him, the first interaction where he's like, nice model, where he kicks the thing over. I love the one at the end where he's sitting in the waiting room and he trades off the ticket for the guy, the dude shrunk the witch doctor, and he shrinks his head.
But when, before he does, he looks at the person next to him who's got the shrunken head and goes, he says something to him about the how the head looks and all. He turns to the other side and goes, you do that over there? That's your work?
Yeah, that's your work.
That's pretty good. he looks at his number. His number is like number, what, 144 million?
Yeah, that's way out there.
And the guy to the right, the witch like doctor, 10. Is number 4. He's next.
Yeah.
He was number 4. They were serving 3 and he had 4, so he was coming up next. So he's switched it, then he just sprinkles that dust on his head. His head starts shrinking down.
Yeah, that, I mean, it is. It's hard to choose when they start figuring out how they can stretch their heads out and stuff. Like, that's classic. I guess I go with the end scene, because after you don't watch the whole movie, that part just absolutely tops it off. It's like the perfect way to end the movie.
One of my favorite scenes is what I started off with the show, is where they're meeting him for the first time now after calling him. And they want to know, are you really qualified, though, to do this?
Yeah.
He gives me a little spiel that I read off earlier.
Right.
I always thought that was kind of cool.
Then when he smacks the roach and eats the roach is pretty good, too.
But he's with them, too. And he keeps reaching over and touching her. She's smacking his hand away.
Yeah.
He's like, he's a pervert. He's a ghost pervert.
Tons of it. Like, that movie was great from beginning to end.
It was. Cannot deny that. Looking forward to Beetlejuice coming out later this year in September. I will say
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
So, well, I think we're at the point, Travis, of going and wrapping this up. And we'll go ahead and say Hey, is there anything else about the movie before I do start wrapping up that you want to bring up?
No, I'm going to save it for the wrap up.
Okay. So if you're good with that, then.
I got a good one for the end of the wrap up, I think.
All right. Cool. Cool. Well, hold on. We'll get to that then. If you're done with it, I'm done with the movie itself. I got nothing else for us to put out here just now.
Yeah.
So, for those of you who are listening to us for the first time, we thank you for tuning in and listening. Please make sure you follow us and give us a chance to stop off at your listening platform, be it iTunes or Spotify or wherever you like to listen to us at. We're pretty much available everywhere. But iTunes and Spotify in particular, you can give us a ranking. So in iTunes, you can give us a star ranking, a five-star ranking for the show. Would be great and totally appreciated. And if you go to iTunes and you listen, you can leave us a little feedback on there, a little one short sentence or something, or a short paragraph, whichever you like, as a review for the show. And it does help us get noticed by some people out there and lets iTunes know that people are starting to enjoy what we put out there and things of that nature. So if you could do that, we'd really appreciate it. The biggest thing you can do for us, though, is share us with your friends and family. If you have social media that you're on and you like this episode, put it out there and share it. Say, hey, these guys did a great job talking about Beetlejuice. I really like the movie. Take a listen, see what you think about them. And that gets us out there in front of the world. So we definitely appreciate that. If you got a thing you'd like to hear us do for a certain movie, we are 1980s based, keep in mind. So Retro Life for You, that's RetroLife, the number 4YOU at gmail.com. And let us know what you want to see, or if you just want to send us some messages. I've got a few messages lately, actually. I wasn't expecting. It was kind of cool. Thanks for you who did send those in. And also, if you don't have time to listen, like in your car or on your phone when you're out working out or something, and say you're at home relaxing or something, or at the job, and you want to just tune us into a web browser, we do have a website, RetroLife, number 4, the letter U.com. You can go there and you can tune us in and listen to all of our episodes from first to last. So make sure to check out the archive if you didn't get a chance yet. A lot of great ones out there.
Oh, yeah. We've covered
Travis, some. I turn it over to you, sir, to end us out on the show today. What do you got for us to wrap this up
with? Oh, yeah. It's just a thing that, they said Michael Keaton ad-libbed a bunch, and they said, I don't know how true this is, but it said there was a scene with him and Gina Davis when he was being kind of pervy, and it was like, I just loved it. He said, hey, it might not be 12 inches, but it smells like a foot.
Oh, my God.